Paul Russell, Meghan Trainor, and slip in brand new music here on Radio 3. Morris Misalowski is in... where is it you are? Yeah, Australia. Hello. G'day, Morris. Yeah. How's it going?
Happy Tuesday, everyone. Still in Australia.
I was about to say Kilburn. Anyway.
Well, you could. I'm not there, but you could.
Good to see you, Morris. You've been busy boy on your blog, and that's what got me going on a small topic this morning. I mean, I may have completely got the wrong end of the stick, but I'm basically, if we invest so much emotion and time and everything into being the latest, the greatest, the fastest, the AI-ness, what about all the human side of it when you end up completely cutting off your legs of your former business? You're sad, aren't you?
Yes and no.
Go on in.
It really depends on what the business is. Mm. The argument is, like everything I think in life, is there's a new tool, you know, there's a new kid on the block, and it's worth at least exploring whether this new kid on the block can add anything to what you're currently doing. Can it make it easier, cheaper, better? Can it do anything at all? And if it can't, which is what I advocate all the time, if it can't do anything better, just leave it alone for the moment and stick with the human side of it, absolutely.
Got a pop triv thing for us here. So there must be some really famous brands out there, really famous, that started as one thing and then the sun came along and turned it into something else, and that's what we know now. Something like that. I'm thinking Kodak, but they really did stay film.
Well, Nokia's often used as a great example of that, because it started off as an agricultural company about 100 or something years ago.
Oh, wow.
Well, it was all about trees or something like that. And, I mean, absolutely nothing to do with electronics. And over the 100 years or so began, you know, the business was going well. It needed to do better. They looked for other avenues. It went into electronics and it became the powerhouse. Not so much now, but the powerhouse certainly 10, 15 years ago for mobile phones.
Mm. Well, is that the kind of thing we're actually talking about here in your article?
For my article, I'm challenging businesses. I mean, it's actually an exercise that I write that this article's about. It's an exercise I've used for a long, long time, and it's one where I ask my clients to kill their business. it doesn't go down very well, but the reality for me and for them, hopefully, when they see the light of this, is that everybody else is trying to do exactly that. They're trying to compete with them. They're trying to kill their business. Mm. You know, we sit inside of it. We sit inside of our business, our life, our family, and we can, because we're human, only see it from that perspective. You know, we think we're doing okay. We think we know what we need to know. We think we're applying what we need to apply. But other people come to it with fresh eyes, different eyes, see things differently, not better or worse, just differently. And we owe it to ourselves, if it's possible, to spend a little bit of time trying to see our world through other people's eyes, to see if indeed there is something new, different, better, something that we should adapt with or change to. Because at the end of the day, business has changed so significantly in the last 20 years. There is so much choice around, and people are not as brand loyal as they once were. They're not going to wait for you to catch up. And that's the real problem. Even though it still might be working and you still think you might be doing wonderfully well, those people that don't know you, that don't value you, may in fact see the end result given to them by somebody else in a different way, and they're really happy with that.
If you miss the boat sort of thing.
Yeah, and too often in business we do miss the boat because we wait for something really tragic or terrible to happen. You know, we wait for the profit to go down.
Skype.
Or people to start.
We talked about Skype the other day.
Absolutely. Or for people to leave. I mean, you know, one of the great barometers for me is how your staff retention, are staff sticking around? And if you're losing them by the bucket load, why is that? You know, what's causing them to leave? Is it the management? Is it the product? Is it the marketplace? There's something, honestly. If lots of people are leaving, there's got to be something that's just not happening for them that they think could happen somewhere else.
And you have to care as well. You have to care.
Well, I think you do. I mean, at least pretend to care, but I think you have to do more. I think you honestly do have to care. Mm. And it is, at the end of the day, from my perspective always, it's about business. It is your business. It's a baby. I mean, it's feeding lots of people, literally.
It's a jungle out there.
It's absolutely jungle out there. So spend some time at least trying to figure out if what you are doing does still make sense, if there's better ways to do it. And the analogy, you know, it's analogous to life as well, because we do things repetitively. Again, humans like me, I mean, maybe it is just me we're talking about, terribly lazy. I kind of like doing the same thing over and over again because I know the end result. And as long as the end result's something I can live with.
Isn't that the old thing about the definition of madness?
But it is. But it's also the definition of glory, because If you're watching the same TV show and you love it, why change? I mean, you know, if you're eating the same bread and you love it, why change bread? You know, if you're going to the same shops, why change shops? The answer is you just shouldn't for the sake of it. But occasionally, just challenge yourself to see the world differently and see maybe there's a new habit, a new product or a new service. Maybe.
It's quite interesting. You're talking about brand loyalty, Morris. What if you, as a famous brand, are really good at keeping people loyal to you, kind of making them, even today, I'm talking right now, I mean, think of G. Oogle. They make people completely brand loyal. How? Because they... You tell me.
Brand loyalty, I actually don't think exists in the way it once did. I'm not even sure that Google has brand loyalty anymore. They have repetition because, again, you and I are really used to it. And it's become the verb.
Yeah.
It's become like Kleenex or Xerox, you know, the word. There are lots of other people that do tissues, lots of other people that make copies, lots of other search engines.
Yeah.
But we're just used to saying it. It really is a verb now more than anything else.
We never said, can you Netscape it?
No, but we do talk about a Netflix moment. We do. So that's become part of the vernacular. And when you can get that, and that's not something you can buy, it just happens. You know, when your product becomes so immersive, so everyday that it just becomes the word for doing it, that's an incredible place to be. But you can lose it just as quickly. Again, let's go back to Xerox. Let's go back to Nokia. Let's go back to all sorts of companies that used to be around. That aren't anymore.
I was thinking about, you know, verbs. Hoover has got to be a good early example.
Oh, yeah, the old Hoover. But what about Blockbuster, the video chain?
Yeah.
That was pretty much everywhere, everybody. Whenever you thought about wanting to see a movie that wasn't on your television and you wanted the video, which was such incredible technology.
Yeah.
And who could ever see that not being around anymore? But they're not. I mean, technology has overcome them.
Right. So let's return to your article. So Morris is at morrisfuturist.com. Go to the blog as usual. What if you had to wipe out your business and start again? And of course, that got me thinking about, people are really keen to develop and get better and be groundbreakers. But AI is, it's not sentient. So it's not going to say, are you sure you want to do this to Uncle's company? It's going to say, gung ho, this is what you do.
Well, it will if you teach it properly. I mean, it will if you ask the right questions.
Emotions. I mean, just
no,
like,
not the emotions, but strategically it will ask, it will challenge you if you ask it to, but most people won't. They'll unfortunately accept what AI tells them, and that's such a bad thing to do. AI is a petulant child.
I
love it. I use it every
day. It's a
great
expression.
But it's a petulant child, meaning that, you know, you've got to love it and you've got to listen to it, but at times you have to challenge it. You have to actually say, look, that's nonsense that you're talking.
Oh, you can't say, can you please ask me if I'm doing the right thing? Please ask me to ask you if I'm doing the right thing, can you?
Yeah. I mean, it just doesn't. And it sometimes, in fact, very often, talks with such authority that you begin to believe or fool yourself that this thing knows something you don't. And it's not true. It just doesn't know it. It just says it so wonderfully well that you get fooled into it. So, again, that's what I mean by petulant child. Love it, you know, love it, want it, nurture it, but challenge it at times. Force it to grow. Force it to see worlds differently than what it's currently doing.
Yeah.
And to me, AI, especially in business, I don't think we all need to jump on the AI bandwagon, but we need to know about it. We shouldn't fear it, which I'm still finding many people do, many businesses do. Many people are unaware of what it can do for them. Again, in particular in a business sense, as humans, as individuals, we can make that decisions for our lives. But as a business, we're actually making it for a whole lot of other people that might be employed by us or using our products or our services. So we're making a big decision, a big call for lots of other people that may not like that decision. And again, that may lead to our downfall.
Right.
So we've got to put AI in perspective, figure out what it is that it can do for us, how it might be able to help, where it might be useful and purposeful, and where it can't be, just leave it alone. This is not, depending on your business, this is not a wholesale replacement for humans. And if you're thinking about using it in that way, then that is a sure road to failure.
Okay, I think, you know, you're saying what it can do, and we all know, everybody's going to agree with what you've just said, but the things that it can't do, you know, if you've gone down an avenue as an entrepreneur and you've got brilliant ideas, and you could say that morally you've gone too far, ethically you've gone too far, the word I'm looking for, is it AI doesn't have judgment? Something like that. Or are we looking for a guardian angel to say don't do that?
Yeah, look, AI has judgment. It just doesn't have good judgment. Because what, and that's what, again, goes back to what I said earlier about really being mindful about using it. because it can say things, it can do things, it makes comments, you know, it takes quotes. And it happens to me all the time because I'm doing a lot of research, research development and search. It comes back, and it comes back because part of what I ask it to do at times is go away and find me the research on something, you know, who said this, what papers have been written. And occasionally it comes back and it just doesn't smell right.
That means you no longer trust research. It. I mean, your human side can no longer trust it.
And that's why it's important to really use it as a tool and not a crutch. So for me, I'll go back and challenge it. I'll ask it to find me the research, to hyperlink me the research, okay. You know, prove to me it exists. And it will do that. I mean, remember, this thing is not like a human. It doesn't get disappointed. It doesn't get upset with you. It doesn't tell you off why do you keep asking me to do it? No. It'll just keep doing it until you're satisfied with it. So you got to challenge it, ask it, force it, get it to really do what you want it to do, and make sure that what you're reading makes perfect sense. Again, it's the same conversation I feel had 10 years ago or more about social media, just not accepting everything that's written because it's on the screen doesn't make it true. You know, all that kind of stuff still holds with AI. Because we read it on the screen doesn't make it the Bible, in whatever version of the Bible makes you happy.
It's incredible, because when you find out about, when you first discover these things in classic movies or sci-fi, I'm sorry, Morris, I can't do that. I mean, that was an AI. Yeah. Hal was an AI, if you think about it.
I'm sorry, I can't open the door. Yeah.
But the reality of it, you know, there was that glorious computer that was, like, horrible. But they're clunky, cranky, and as you've said, petulantly childish.
Yeah, they are. And we do need to keep it in that context. I know I repeat it, but I repeat it to all my audiences, all my clients. You know, we really do have to be its overlord, not the other way around. We've got to make sure that this thing bends to our will. And that's the problem I'm seeing too often, that people, that some people, some businesses are not using it well, and it's not bending to their will. It's the other way around.
Is it because they're getting so excited about it, you think?
Yeah, they're taking orders from this thing. I mean, not in the sense of hell that you just said, but it will say something, it'll suggest something, it'll give you whatever it gives you, and you are taking it at face value and often implementing that. And that just might not make sense.
That might feed us into something you mentioned some weeks ago about the new... Remember when we talked about new types of job and you sort of basically talked about an AI trainer? Well, this is AI training, really, a slightly different department.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And there are people, and we talked about them being as prompt engineers, as one of the jobs that are really riding at the moment. And, you know, the prompt engineers have actually become defunct in the time we've spoken about them. They've evolved even further. Yeah, because when you and I spoke about them, I was speaking about them in the context of artificial intelligence as we know it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, I mean, they're not new, but they're really riding now. They're called AI agents, and they're little bots, which are pieces of software that automatically do something for you. So you program it and it will go away and it will find articles, it'll turn the article into a newsletter, it'll then do the copyright for that, it'll then do the editing, it'll then do the posting. So literally with one click it'll do a whole lot of steps. And the prompt engineers have evolved in this very short space of time we talked about to not just doing a paragraph that explains what you want, but actually being this person that can do that cascade of events so that with one trigger, it'll literally go through and escalate 10, 20, 30, 40 different steps for you automatically.
Yeah.
That's where that new realm's gone. And that's only in a couple of months that that's become a skill, a really important skill.
Is that thing teaching AIs to be original so people don't get all sorts of plagiarism lawsuits and stuff?
I'm not sure it can be original, Phil, because what it's doing is going back into the same pool. It's fishing from the same ocean.
Writing creatively, I mean.
But it's trying more and more to write in a way that makes sense for that particular business or individual, so it's not always the same thing over and over again. But it does more than that. It really is. Some of these new agents, these bots that are being written, are quite incredible. They will literally take a piece of activity from a business that might have taken four or five different kinds of skills and crafting it into one button. I mean, I'm calling it a button. It's not. It's just a keyboard that you press. And it will then do all of those things for you. It'll do it in the background. It'll do it quite quickly. And it will do it over and over again. And with ChatGPT and many others, these tasks now can be automated. So you can tell it on every Tuesday morning, send Phil this newsletter, do this, do that, and all the rest of it. And it will just do it in the background. As long as you're happy for what's happening and you're aware of it, it'll do it in the background for you. You don't have to think much about it. So that's a whole new skill set and a whole new way of thinking about business, which marries into what I believe anyway.
Yeah, well, we've arrived, Morris. I mean, the opening thing was, what if you had to kill your own business, i.e. get swept along with the wave of progress and the future and AI and everything? More and more, it's like we need to be able to control our excitement as humans.
Yeah, we do. We do. We need to temper it. But, and we also, though, need to learn more now than I think we have for a few years, because this thing is so new. It's like social media was. It's like the internet was. It's like the mobile phone was. All of these things are new. We don't quite know how to manage it. We're a bit fearful. We don't know if it's purposeful. We really are at this moment in time for individuals, businesses, schools, teachers, you know, students, it doesn't matter who we are, trying to come to terms with this new thing and trying to understand how it might fit into our lives best.
What kind of conclusions did you draw from this? Once more, because we've only got a minute or so left. MorrisFuturist.com. Kill your business, reinvent it, innovation lessons. Those are his flag words there. So what's the conclusion, Morris, if I get to the bottom of your article?
Well, the conclusion's different for every business, but it is about really bringing fresh eyes, new eyes to everything you do, as I've said, not just in business, but in our lives too, being willing to go out and just spend a minute or two or a half a day, whatever it is, and think about, just because I've always done it that way, is it still sensible to do it? Is there a better way to do it? AI is not necessarily the answer to this. This is just, to me, a normal human activity. Let's just make sure that our routine and our laziness isn't causing us harm, and let's see if there is something that we are missing that might make our business or our life or whatever else just a bit better, a bit happier, or a bit easier.
Nice juicy little paragraph here. It says AI is no longer optional. NVIDIA's dominance and the rise of AI-powered everything shows us one thing. If AI isn't in your strategy, you won't be in the conversation. That's fighting talk.
It is.
True.
It is.
I mean,
it is true, because it is going. It is something now that every business uses. It's kind of like the fax machine was. Every business cottoned onto it and made use of it. Everybody began to use PCs. It's the same thing. It's becoming ordinary, because everyone does it. Isn't a good reason, but because everyone does it is a good reason to understand it and figure out when it will be useful to you.
Was the fax machine a brilliant idea that should have been rolled out like 30 years earlier or something?
And it could have been, because it was around for all those years. It was a wonderful, it was a game changer.
Yeah.
It really was a game changer in business, and we've forgotten it because it's so far in our history now and so ordinary to us, but it was incredible to get immediate information. Just incredible.
Yeah. Well done, Morris. Thanks a lot. Always lovely chatting. Morris Misolowski, do check out the articles. They'll get you thinking. That's